Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vinda. Gaura Bhakta Vinda, Gaura Bhakta Vinda. Gaura Bhakta Vinda, Gaura Bhakta Vinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vinda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vinda. Hare Krishna. Aham. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Lila, chapter 20, verse number 80. That's like we're practically at the end of the book. Aiche Mahaprabhura Lila Nahiyara Para Jivahaya Keva Samyak Parivannibara. The pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are like the unlimited sky. How then can an ordinary living being describe them all? Oops, I went too far. I try to describe them as far as my intelligence allows, as if trying to touch a drop in the midst of a great ocean. Vrindavan Das Thakur is Lord Nityananda's favorite devotee, and therefore he is the original Vyasadeva in describing the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although Vrindavan Das has within his jurisdiction the full store of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, he's left aside most of them and described but a small portion. What I've described was left aside by Vrindavan Das Thakur, but although he could not describe these pastimes, he gave us a synopsis. Of course, the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Well, so there is the sky. And in the sky there are many birds, and all the birds are sort of assigned different levels. We see here in Vrindavan, we see different birds. We see the green parrots flying. But also there are hawks, and the hawks are flying on another level. They fly much higher. Or vultures can fly as high as eight miles, so they say, which is very high. I mean, that's like higher than Mount Everest. So, in this way, different birds can fly on different levels in the sky. And in the same way, different devotees are flying on different levels of realization in the sky of spiritual life. So, some of us are not flying at all. Right? There are birds that just walk, you know. Yeah? As you know, penguins, for example. But also, miracles happen, and that birds that are not meant to fly, even birds that are not meant to fly are now flying. Why don't you leave it open, the door, so that more people can come in? They feel like... Yeah, so different birds are flying and... lost my train of thought for a sec. Some birds that are not meant to fly are flying, like chickens. So I kind of feel that we are like, or at least many of us are like flying chickens. Somehow against the odds, right? Unexpected, like totally not meant to be there. Totally not, but in the sky nonetheless, off the ground. Not just a little bit flapping, but really off the ground. So it is like that we are being confronted with our human limitations, very much so. First of all, we feel very human. Our identification with this present bodily existence is very strong, and all the needs and so on. It is said in the teachings to Sanatana Goswami, there is a verse, Kamadinam kutida pulita duni desam tesam jata mayina karuna natapatraya. There is no limit to the quantity of my unwanted desires. And for so long, I have been trying to fulfill these desires. Oh yes, I have faithfully served them. Whatever demand was placed upon me, I tried to fulfill. But the senses have never been very grateful. The senses basically said, after I brought them everything I could with all my energy, all they could say was, is that all? Is that all? Bring more! And like this, it's been slavery. Slavery, just hard labor without any reward, without any appreciation in the service of the senses. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or Sanatana, is meeting with Sanatana Goswami, and Sanatana Goswami is saying, for so long I have been serving the senses, but lately I have come to my senses. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes an essay on that, and the essay is called The Real and the Apparent Self. And in this essay, he is saying, for so long I have served this false person who I'm not, this false identity who I'm not. I will no longer serve that personality. No longer. And so basically, that's the theme of the article. One who goes on strike for the bodily demands. But that's not so easy. And who can do such a thing? How can we do it? It is not easy. If the path is renunciation, if the path is so rigid, if the path is so demanding, then we're not going to make it. Then we are chickens after all, up in the air and back on the ground. Back on the ground. Then we can't stay there. But how to gradually rise, gradually rise in the sky of spiritual realization? That is our focus. That is our focus. Well, the first and foremost point is, in this regard, is mercy. It is mercy. First mercy. First, by the mercy of causeless mercy. A free gift, if possible. A free gift. We are waiting for... give us a free gift. Give us some higher taste without us doing anything for it. Then we can surrender. Then. And it's a tussle. It's a tussle because Krishna is desiring that we act. Over the last few days, the basis of our lectures has been the Bhakti Kalpataru, the desire tree of Lord Chaitanya, and we have gone over that desire tree, and we have looked at how various great Vaishnavas are part of this tree. We saw yesterday Madhavendra Puri, the root of the tree, and what can one say? Madhavendra Puri is such a person that he stands unique. That was very clear. He stands unique on his own. He's like not exactly a role model for us. Go and follow Madhavendra Puri. Hungry. It's like, I don't really want to follow that program of fasting and fasting until someone brings me something to eat on his own, just out of his own inspiration. I mean, that's a little too intense for most of us. So we need a program that is made easy. So we're looking at mercy. All right, Lord Chaitanya is very merciful. Lord Nityananda is described to be more merciful, because he is intoxicated with love of God. He is tasting the nectar of serving. He is, by serving Lord Chaitanya, he becomes so intoxicated. So there is a key in devotional service. Devotional service is a key to mercy. There's no doubt about it. Yeah? But then, okay, doesn't seem to be free. No, that's true. We are yeyatamam prapadyante tam stateva bhajami aham. As you surrender unto me, I reward you accordingly. So then it is, as we are engaging in service, then there will be reciprocation from Krishna. And that, of course, is our saving grace. So our main connection is that. It is that service attitude. Servitude is truly our path. Now I'll read something, just a sec, I have to push a few buttons, and I'm bad at multitasking. Oh dear, that was the wrong button. Nice button nonetheless. I need the elephant, yes. Well, I wrote down a few verses. Through their service, Devotees see that personality of Godhead, just as the denizens of heaven see the personality of the sun. Then in the purport it says, the sun god is a person who, although not visible to our eyes, is seen from the higher planets by the demigods whose eyes are suitable for seeing through the glaring sunshine that surrounds him. This is Adi Lila 2:25. So it's an interesting metaphor. We're looking at the sun. We don't see the sun god. We cannot see. We're looking at Krishna. We cannot see. But it is said that the demigods, when they look at the sun, they see in a different way. They can see. They can see. They have that divya drishti, that divine vision by which they can see the sun god. It means that through devotional service, we can gradually change our vision by which we can see, by which we can see Krishna. This is the big problem. The big problem with religion in general is that God is invisible. That's a complication. Right? God is invisible, and that is why in the entire world there are so many different religions and so many ideas, and they're all fighting with each other. And ultimately, who has seen that? Who has seen? Everyone has his prophets who either claim to have seen or have some revealed scripture and so on. And then, we develop some faith. But that faith is incomplete. That faith is only partial. That faith, initial faith may be there, that there is fun in devotional service, undoubtedly. Devotional service is not just a path of duty, endless duty. No. Devotional service, immediately, there's fun. We sing, we dance, we clang and bang and play musical instruments. It's fun. There are feasts. It's not dry. Before Krishna consciousness, I was searching, and at one point, I visited this Buddhist monastery in Europe, actually. And it was situated in an old medieval tower, and around the tower was a canal, and there was a bridge, and then you could visit the monastery, and they'd let you in at night at 7 o'clock, and then at 8 o'clock they would pull the bridge up, and then you were in there till 10 o'clock the next morning when the bridge would come down. And I thought, well, you know, I've got swimming diplomas in case, so I'll take the risk, you know. So I went, we got up very early, like before 4 o'clock, and then there was a morning program, some guided meditation and some mantras and some pranayam and like that. And well, it didn't capture me, it didn't really attract me, but it also didn't really I also didn't find it repulsive or anything like that. It also, but then what did it was the breakfast, right? At the time of breakfast they served a small piece of bread. This big, that was it. Only one piece, right? One piece and some tea. And on the bread, they had miso, which, you know, is some black fermented soybean paste. I think miso is short for miserable. And, you know, and that was it, right? And that was breakfast. And as I looked at it, you know, I really started to philosophize about it, and I thought to myself that I don't see why spiritual life has to be a process of self-denial, right? This is self-denial. What is the point of this? Why does spiritual life have to be so alien to nature and so on? No, I think that cannot be. And right there, that breakfast did me in, and at 9:45 I was waiting for the bridge to come down. Right? And I was lost to Buddhism forever. So, you're probably not surprised that I joined the Hare Krishna movement instead, right? For obvious reasons, right? For one, there's a better breakfast. But yes, so we see that this process is in that way not artificial. It is Lord Chaitanya's process is not a process of denial. It is not a process of giving up what is natural to us. But vairagya vija nija bhakti yogam. Vairagya or renunciation is described to be part of Lord Chaitanya's program, and Lord Chaitanya himself took sannyas, and in that way kind of re-established sannyas as a genuine process for the Vaishnavas. But his main purpose for that was simply to spread Krishna consciousness, not for the sake of the austerity, although he himself was strict and austere as a sannyasi. We see that of all the Panchatattva members, only Lord Chaitanya took formal sannyas. Lord Nityananda, they were all householders. Lord Chaitanya took formal sannyas. Lord Nityananda was renounced, but also had been married. He was maybe a vanaprastha, but also maybe not. It was difficult to really figure out where he was at. He was an avaduta, and you just never understood what he was doing. I mean, the most amazing things. Right? With the wife of Srivas, who was elder, Srivas and his wife Malini were contemporaries of the parents of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and roughly speaking, at least 30 years older than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Nityananda about 13 years older, which let's say would have made Malini 20 years older than Lord Nityananda. But Lord Nityananda would sometimes in his ecstasy just go in the mood of a small boy. And in this mood of a small boy, he threw off all his clothes, and he wanted to drink milk from the breast of Malini, right? As her son in a parental mood. So definitely avaduta. not really your standard sannyas or your standard renunciant, but nonetheless, Lord Nityananda was renounced. He was, but he did not dress like a renunciant. He dressed with silken turban with many jewels from his goldsmith disciple Udaran Dutta Thakur. This Udaran Dutta is an interesting personality. There is a place in a little bit at a not too great distance from Mayapur, which is known as Udaranpur. That is the place of Udarandatta. And it said Udarandatta was of a Suvarnavarnik family. The Suvarnavarnik family was a family of jewelers and goldsmith, and he was extremely wealthy, and he became a disciple of Nityananda, and he provided all the jewels and all the gold and everything, a ring on every finger and like that. Nityananda was showing off. And Prabhupada describes that actually his family lineage is in the family lineage from Udarandatta. And he explains how the Malik family are in the same community. And he is describing how every year in Udaranpur there is a Mela which is being held. It's also given the time. Prabhupada writes also the time, which now just slips my mind, you know. But he gives the time, and then he says that at that time his family would take him there when he was a child. So every year as a child Prabhupada would go for this Mela and just celebrate a festival to honor Udarandatta Thakur. Anyway, Lord Nityananda was in this way certainly an avaduta, but at the same time so transcendental. When Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami had the darshan of Lord Nityananda in his dream, he saw Lord Nityananda, he saw how he was chewing betel nuts, he saw how his eyes were rolling, he saw how he was dressed in opulent silk and decorated with jewels, he saw that his body was moving like an elephant. In Mayapur you can look at the elephant, and if you study the elephant, I have, then you can see that an elephant is always moving. There is not a moment that an elephant stands still. There's always ears are flapping, trunk, something moving all the time in an elephant, you will see in Mayapur. So Nityananda was moving like a drunken elephant. Yeah? He must be quite moving, his eyes rolling. Right? In his hand, a reddish iron stick, and chanting with a deep voice, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Many cowherd boys surrounded, swarming around his feet, also chanting Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So very ecstatic at the same time, very transcendental, very absorbed. And that example of Nityananda shows what vairagya, what renunciation is all about in Krishna consciousness. It's not about who can eat the smallest portion of bread, right? No, it's not about that. Again, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is saying an interesting thing. He is saying that, you know, an ant, right? An ant. How much is an ant eating? Very little. Very little. So the ant is eating very little. And the elephant, how much is the elephant eating? The elephant is constantly, they're trucking it in, you know, like serious quantities. Right? It said, but the elephant is carrying the deity of Krishna on his back. So he's rendering service. Whereas the ant may crawl up to Krishna and may bite Krishna. Right? Therefore, eating less is not really the way to get to Krishna. The way to get to Krishna is through service, through devotional service. Selfless service, to somehow or other have this attitude of service. And this mood is the prevalent mood in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then, how to engage in devotional service of Krishna? It is not, yes, in the beginning, we are we are gross in our service. We don't know much about Krishna. We don't know very well how to actually please Krishna. But it is from the Vaishnavas that we can learn how to please Krishna. Therefore, in order to please Krishna, one must serve a Vaishnava. And that is like another central point in the teachings that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to Sanatana Goswami. He repeated that point, that serve the Vaishnavas. It comes up time and time again. Serve a spiritual master, Adau Guru Padasraya. First take shelter of the lotus feet of the spiritual master. And of course, we are reciting with Narottam Das Thakur, the lotus feet of the spiritual master are the only way by which we can attain pure devotional service. There is no doubt to that. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami begins with Vande Gurun Isa Bhaktam Isam Isavatarakam. He describes first worship the spiritual masters. Those are the opening words. But Gurun, plural, right? And Srila Prabhupada explains in the first chapter, yes, that means many gurus. Many gurus. In the last few days, we were looking a little bit at our acharyas, at the gurus, at our gurus. And all of the gurus have not only given us transcendental knowledge, no. There is more than that. There is more than that. There is also the prayer of each of them. The prayer of each of these personalities for our deliverance. For example, about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there is a mention in the fifth chapter of the Nectar of Devotion. And there, Srila Prabhupada is explaining how, without Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, how could people from all over the world have been accepted as Vaishnavas? It is not possible. But there was that Brahmana-Vaishnava debate, and it was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta who just established with so much evidence, right, that anyone could be a Vaishnava. And of course, there are verses that we now know. Yasya yalaksanam proktam pumsavani vijanjakam yat anyatrapi drishteta tattaneva viniyadisit, which says that one should be judged by the quality of one's activities and not by the quality of one's birth. And of course, Bhagavad Gita, guna karma vibhagasa, not janma karma vibhagasa, by guna and by quality and activity, not by birth and activity. So, like this, we understand and we accept. And now we are accepted more and more, more and more. And gradually are accepted as authority. And we see that this was going on. Narottam Das Thakur was accepted as the spiritual master of Brahmanas, although he himself was of a Kayasta background, which is counted as Sudra. But on the strength of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kiba Vipa Kiba Nyasi Sudra Kena Nai, Ye Guru Tattva Veta Sei Guru Hai. Yes? So, it is about whomever knows Krishna, the truth about Krishna. The truth about Krishna, it is said, can be, to some extent, can be found in the scriptures. Because after all, the scriptures are not ordinary. The scriptures are apuraseya. The scriptures are revealed. The scriptures are not spoken by man. The scriptures are revealed by the Supreme Lord. But it is also said, Tayakar Patista Sutya Vibina Nasa Varisir Matanabinam Dharmasya Tattva Nitam Guhayam Mahajana Yena Katasapanta. It is said that actually, in trying to understand the scriptures, there are so many opinions of so many scholars, so many rishis, so many munis, who have so many ideas, and it is never clear, never clear. Therefore, one will not know the truth. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is the example of Tapan Misra. Tapan, when Lord Chaitanya went to East Bengal, Bengal is now cut in half, right? Now, when the British in 1947 engineered the partition of India, then at that time, they cut the land of Lord Chaitanya in half. So Lord Chaitanya went to East Bengal for a preaching tour, and Lord Chaitanya there met Tapan Misra. And Tapan Misra was a very learned Brahmana, but Tapan Misra, and he had studied so many scriptures, but the result of all the study was that he had found so many contradictory points. He found so many contradictions in the scriptures that he had become confused, and he was no longer sure as to what the goal of life truly was. So it is said that Lord Chaitanya then instructed Tapan Misra to move from East Bengal and to go to Varanasi. So why did he send him to Varanasi? Tapan Misra could not understand. He was there in Benares, and he was suffering like anything, because he was there along with one other devotee, Chandrasekhar, in the midst of an ocean of Mayavadis. Right? And just to be there with all these impersonalists, it was just too much for Tapan Misra and for Chandrasekhar. And they both felt that somehow or other, they wanted Lord Chaitanya to establish the truth, because they couldn't tolerate that this constant Mayavad conclusion which was diminishing Lord Krishna, because Mayavadi is adhering to the philosophy of illusion, namely that Krishna is illusion, that the spiritual world is illusion, and that devotional service is illusion. These three. That's Mayavadi. So, they couldn't tolerate it. And of course, Lord Chaitanya fulfilled their desire and did defeat the Mayavadis in Benares, and they all became Vaishnavas. The point is that Tapan Misra had read so many scriptures, but just in case he would have become contaminated by Mayavad, since he was confused about the goal, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent him there so that he could personally witness this defeat of Mayavad, and in that way become cured of that disease. Anyway, so Lord Chaitanya, back to my point was that through the scriptures we can to some extent approach the Supreme Lord, but still the real truth remains hidden even in the scriptures, and is only available in through the Vaishnava, in the heart of the Vaishnava. So Lord Chaitanya showed that. And that is why yesterday, when in the first day we established Lord Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, none other than Krishna himself, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. The second day, we established how he connected to the parampara. We established Madhavendra Puri and how one must go to the Vaishnava. Otherwise, what is our hope? Otherwise, our service will be incidental. Now, it is interesting that in the Madhya Leela 15.108, there is a verse which says that through the chanting of the holy name, all perfection can be attained. And it is mentioned that the holy name, the chanting of the holy name, doesn't depend on anything external. It doesn't, not even on initiation. So that's kind of shocking, right? The Chaitanya Charitamrita puts so much emphasis on Guru, and now it's in Madhya Leela 15.108, easy number to remember, it seems to contradict that. So how to understand? So, Srila Prabhupada explained, Srila Prabhupada said that in one purport, in the Adi Leela, 7th chapter, Srila Prabhupada gives an explanation on this point. And he says that although the chanting of Hare Krishna does not depend on anything external, like initiation, he says, we have become very fallen and very contaminated by the material energy, and the result is that we have become restless. And due to this restlessness, we cannot fix ourselves. We cannot focus ourselves. And therefore, due to this restlessness, we need to engage in deity worship. That will cure us from this restlessness. And in order to do that, we require initiation, he's saying. Otherwise, we cannot properly execute that. Yes, we see in our line, that a description of the Sampradaya, we see that description has been given by three of our acharyas. The first one who described the Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya coming from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Kavi Karnapur. So he writes that in the Gaura Ganadesh Deepika, and so which is a book, I said yesterday, it gives the who is who, the associates of Lord Chaitanya, who they are in Krishna Leela, but it gives more. It also gives the parampara for the first time coming from Lord Chaitanya. And so that is the earliest account that we have of the Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya. And dated 1576. Then the next list that we get about the Sampradaya, we find in the Prameya Ratnavali from Baladev Vijayabhusan. And of course, by then the Sampradaya has evolved further. Right? So we see how it has grown. We're then in the 17th century. And then in the more recent time, in the modern time, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur described the Sampradaya also. Now, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's disciple, Srila Bhakti Raksak Sridhar Maharaj, he gives an explanation of how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta explained the Sampradaya. We can see in our Vaishnav songbook, it is there, you know, the Sampradaya from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, right? And then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta gave an explanation of that and said that our Sampradaya is a zigzag Sampradaya. Okay? He said, it's a zigzag sampradaya. It goes from here to there. It's like something like a map which has little lights on it. You know, like sometimes you see a map of the ISKCON temples with lights on it. Right? And then, you know, the lights go on and you can just follow the course. It said, like, wherever the light manifested, that's where the Acharya was identified. So we're seeing how the line comes down and how the disciplic succession is not always exactly a line of guru and disciple who were with diksha and so on, sometimes siksha. And that siksha is not always a situation where there was a long ongoing relationship, right? Like a lifetime of like exchange of instruction. So a siksha guru who practically became like a diksha guru. No. Like for example, between Jagannath Das Babaji and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there was not really such an active relationship of Bhaktivinoda Thakur regularly going to Jagannath Das Babaji for instruction. That was not so much the issue. But when it came to the birth site that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had identified by studying the scriptures and studying local folklore and so on, then he called in Srila Jagannath Das Babaji, who he accepted as the authority, right? and who everyone accepted as the authority, and who he brought there, who then established it, Gauri Vibhava Bhumistvam Nidesta Satchana Priya, Vaishnav Sarvabhoma Jagannathai Te Namaha. That's the mantra. He is known as the one who identified the birthplace, discovered the birthplace. So we see such kind of connections appearing. So that's, how is that? That's fine. That is fine. Wherever the conclusion, the pure conclusions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are deposited, that is where we trace the sampradaya. Where it was alive, that is where we trace it. And that is the essence. The essence is the teachings. So in our sampradaya we see siksha connections. But these siksha connections we see between great Mahabhagavats, between great devotees, right? Great self-realized devotees. Because a great self-realized devotee, it may be enough to accept a guru with full dedication, with full devotion through siksha. Not for us. Oh no, not for us. There is a need for a promise. Like, it is interesting that Srila Prabhupada, that he formalized initiation in a way it was never formalized before. Not even by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see that initiations are virtually happening by a kind of an acceptance. No yajna, no formal, sometimes not chanting on the beats and handing beats and so on, not even that. Right? Just simply accepting. Right? We see such connections and they count as guru-disciple connections. Just as the six Goswamis count as the guru, as the disciples of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I referred to many times. Others are identifying again others as the gurus, but no. Said like some say Vija Vachaspati was the guru of Sanatana Goswami. Yes, he did instruct him But he was not the guru of Sanatan Goswami. That is obviously. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was like the life and soul. Every instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the essence in his life. Sanatan Goswami heard the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and understood them and absorbed them, remembered them, but that was not it. It is said that Sanatan Goswami is very intelligent. Because after that, Sanatan Goswami approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he said, please, let all these instructions be manifest in my heart. So he did not just ask for instructions, he also asked for blessings. So that is very interesting how instruction alone will not do. It's a crucial point. For us, of course, let me backtrack for a moment, initiation is essential. For us, it is very important that the question is asked, how many rounds are you promising to chant every day of your life without fail? Right? There's no loopholes. You can't. Then, okay, 16 and then minimum, right? 16. And so on. What are the four regulative principles? Somehow or other, that became my service also, to conduct initiations. And I always, if someone says, what are the four regulative principles? If someone says, no meat eating, I will say, what else? What more? And I want to hear that no fish or eggs, just so that there's no room for, you know, that you can't say, well, I didn't promise that. Because you know the mind, right? You know the mind. That day may come. The day may come that we need that promise, right? The day may come that we just need that promise to say, well, God, I promised it, you know. Otherwise, there's a little egg in the cake anyway. You know, your mother made it, you know, and it's Christmas. I mean, come on, you know. You're not eating anything. No, you're sitting there at the table, you didn't eat anything. Can't you just have a little piece of cake made by your mother? Your own mother? Come on. Can't be fanatic. No, you promised it, no eggs, remember? Spelled it out. No. Eggs in the cake. Of course, Tamal Krishna Maharaj told the story that he went to China and that he said he was a vegetarian and that they said, oh, what does that mean? He said, I'm very strict, I don't eat any meat, fish, eggs, onion, garlic, anything like that. They said, all right. Then they made a cake for him and they brought the cake. And he said, is it vegetarian? He said, yes. He said, no meat, fish, eggs. He said, no meat, fish, eggs, no. And then he was still sort of doubtful. Then he said, what is it made of? And they said, insects. So, maybe in the future we'll extend the the definition of initiation. You said that. No meat, fish, eggs, no cockroaches, no. So such adjustments can be made. That is called Kaladesha Patra. You might think, I'm not speaking about the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I am speaking about the Chaitanya Charitamrita today. But I'm also bringing it to a conclusion. And I'm now bringing it down. Bringing it down to us. Because the Chaitanya Charitamrita is not another form of transcendental entertainment. Right? Oh, you know, Krishna consciousness is very narrow. You know, it's like Hare and Krishna. Right? And you just have like a horse that has these two blinds on and walks through the road. We devotees I like that. We have blinds on. You're not allowed to look left, not allowed to look right. Right? Keep your Hare and Krishna blinds on. Yes? So the path is narrow. And we need on this narrow path, we need some entertainment. We need some Swami who, you know, knows a lot of stories and this and that, can give us a lecture and, you know, just pour the nectar and like, great, some sort of transcendental entertainment, like a good TV program. So in this way we have our, but it is much more than that. It is much more than that. Chaitanya Charitamrita is our life. We are, once Srila Prabhupada gave a lecture, and I always remember this lecture, and in the lecture someone asked a question. And the question was, is Joan of Arc, right, in good French, Jeanne d'Arc, is Joan of Arc, is she in the Bhagavatam? So Prabhupada says, eh? Joan of Arc in the Bhagavatam? And then he says, yes, she's also in the Bhagavatam, because the life of the devotee is also Bhagavatam, right? So, Chaitanya Charitamrita is the Bhagavatam. It is an extension of the Bhagavatam. It is the devotees who are living the Bhagavatam. And what remains still locked in the Bhagavatam becomes available in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There is that verse. Sei pancha tattva mili prithivi asiya purva prema bandarena mudra ugadiya pancha mili lutta prem kore ashvadan yate yate piya trishna bade anukshan. The storehouse of love and locked, love of God, storehouse locked, the pancha tattva broke the lock and went inside and drank the whatever was in there, and the result was their thirst increased. So this is now available. So the Chaitanya Charitamrita is particularly is our way of life. It provides us everything we need. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, somehow or other, I'm already saying many times in this lecture, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, and tomorrow is his appearance day, and it must be like that the titi is approaching, and that somehow or other this is happening, because I don't know why I'm not using that many examples of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. But this one I use more often. And it is a lecture that he gave in Assam. And at that time, in Assam, there was suddenly an earth tremor, an unexpected earth tremor. And this earth tremor caused a river to overflow its banks in a flash flood. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was in that area, but he was on high ground. So the hall where he was lecturing was not affected by the water, but all around, the whole area was flooded by a sudden flash flood. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta got inspired and gave a whole lecture about the Mahapralaya, the big final inundation of the universe. And he started to say, he said, when that happens, what will you do? You take your valuables, right? You try and save your life and take your valuables. You take the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya Charitamrita, and you just walk out of the house, right? He says, but if it gets too heavy to carry, and you got to let something go, then what do you let go? He said, then you can let the Bhagavad Gita go. And then you keep on walking with Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. Why? Because Bhagavad Gita gives us everything. It gives us the whole philosophy. It's enough. You have the Bhagavad Gita, you can go back to Godhead. But it doesn't describe the detailed pastimes of Krishna. So, okay, we want those, so we hold on to the Bhagavatam. And anyway, all the philosophy for going back to God, it is in the Bhagavatam as well. And Chaitanya Charitamrita is also full with juice, so we carry those too. But then, if it still gets too heavy, then which one you let go? Let the Bhagavatam go. Yes. Then you let it go. She's going, no. Never. That's a good sign. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, then you let the Bhagavatam go and hold on to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He said, because from there everything can be restored. Everything. Everything is in there. It is all there. So what is there? There is a process. The process, the detailed description of the process of devotional service is given. It's throughout the book. It is found. It is described in the teachings to Rupa and Sanatan. It is described in the explanations that Ramananda Rai gave to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just the same description that I was mentioning about Sandipani Muni. It said, Ramananda Rai was like a cloud that had taken water from the ocean and then raining back on the ocean. Right? Like that. He spoke the transcendental knowledge that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed to him. So in this way, everything is there. There are the principles of how, of sadachar, of how a Vaishnava should behave in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So many times we're seeing Jagadananda Pandit. When Sanatana Goswami had sores on his body, Jagadananda Pandit was instructing him and told him, why don't you go to Vrindavan? Lord Chaitanya told you to go to Vrindavan. Why are you staying here in Puri in this condition? Sanatana Goswami was complaining that every day Mahaprabhu is coming, he's embracing me. And the horrible juices coming from these sores is touching the body of the Lord. It's a great offense. Go to Vrindavan, Jagadananda said. The Lord wanted you to go there anywhere you go. Then, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found out, he became so upset. He said, this Jaga, he didn't even call him Jagadananda. He said, this Jaga, who does he think he is? He's just a boy. Who is he to instruct you? You are very learned and respectable. Even I go to you for advice, and he's instructing you. I will never tolerate anyone who doesn't adhere to Vaishnav etiquette. He's saying like that. So like this, we see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita an emphasis on Vaishnav etiquette. We see how Vaishnavas behave and so on. And we also see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita how Vaishnavas misbehave, how they commit offenses, and how they get reactions for it. Ramachandra Puri. We heard Iswarapuri served his spiritual master Madhavendra Puri at the end of his life so nicely, so humble, but then there was this Ramachandra Puri who criticized his spiritual master, and as a result he became more and more critical. He criticized his spiritual master told him, get out of my sight, and he criticized more and more until he finally criticized the Supreme Lord. So his offenses just increased and increased and increased. So everything is there of how to become a devotee. And finally, what is there is the mercy. Is the mercy. So in that respect, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta spoke and emphasized the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he himself was reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita as his favorite book. That was the book that he was reading the most. Then we see Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada coming to the West on the Jaladuta. He left on Friday the 13th, our lucky day. And he did the Atlantic crossing, and during the time, it says in the Jaladuta diary, it says that what sustained him was Chaitanya Charitamrita. He was reading Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Srila Prabhupada comes across the ocean. In his trunks he has Bhagavatams. Those he had printed, and he carried them up. Then we see that Srila Prabhupada established Bhagavad Gita, established Srimad Bhagavatam. Then finally, yes, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Although he gave early lectures on the Chaitanya Charitamrita in 1966 in New York, which went way over the head of everybody, even if we hear them today, they're way over our head, and we have much more exposure to the philosophy. The devotees were hearing Sonatan. So they're writing Sonatan Atutan. Umapati was taking notes and he wrote Sonatan because of the Bengali accent. What did they know? But with everything that Prabhupada gave us, right, still it was too much. We remember that first initiation, 64 rounds, impossible. 32 rounds, cannot be done. 25, 16 no less. And what Prabhupada did was something extraordinary. Something extraordinary. Because in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, it is basically stated that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was invited by some brahmanas. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I will only accept the invitation of a lakpati. A lakpati means one who has 100,000. So in those days, nowadays to have 100,000 is still more than most of us have. Right, but in those days, now it's still like $3,000 or something like that. Still a good sum of money, but in those days, 500 years ago, was a fortune. Right? So the brahmanas all felt like, how can we invite him? But then Lord Chaitanya explained, no, I will only accept an offering of one who is chanting 1 lakh of names every day, 64. And Prabhupada brought it down to 16. But he brought down the number of rounds, but he did not diminish the mercy at all. Because at 16 rounds, what Prabhupada gave was back to Godhead. These days, there are all kinds of initiation is available at all kinds of prices, right? At some of the neighbors, you can buy it for 4 rounds. And they don't even ask you any regulative principles to promise. It's dirt cheap, 4 rounds only, right? Serious. Okay, that's cheap. Cheap and best, yes? Cheap and best, yes, come to my shop. I give you cheap and best, Yes, I'm giving. Yes. When the price goes down so much, then the question is, are you getting the same quality? Are you getting back to God at this lifetime? But Prabhupada established that very clearly. Said it on many occasions. I could give like a list of quotes. One comes from Dinabandhu, who tells in his memories that Dinabandhu was the president of Portland in America. And he said Prabhupada was there And Prabhupada said, if you follow four regulated principles and chant 16 rounds, you will go back to Godhead. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. Said it three times. Okay, that's a pretty strong quote. So Prabhupada lowered the price, but not the quality. The same quality. The same quality of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The full gift of Lord Chaitanya. The full gift he gave. So Prabhupada did not just give us the Chaitanya Charitamrita as a book. Prabhupada gave it to us as a way of life. We have to understand, the Yuga Dharma is to serve the Yuga Avatar, to serve in the mission of the Yuga Avatar. And that's what Prabhupada did, right? His whole life is Chaitanya Charitamrita. Every moment of it is in this. That we are like, as I began the lecture, we are like different birds flying on different levels in the sky. And Prabhupada, of course, flew on the topmost level in the sky, on the level of pure love of God. But Prabhupada came down, although he was a transcendental, effulgent resident of the spiritual world, right? I don't know if Prabhupada came down from the spiritual world or if Prabhupada became perfect in this world. Who am I? I don't fly so high that I can see that. But Prabhupada came down and Prabhupada flew at the level of a preacher. But not an ordinary preacher. A preacher with Krishna Prem. And as a preacher with Krishna Prem, Prabhupada touched the life of all, and then he showed the life of a devotee in this age, which is, if you want to turn to Krishna Prem, then you must turn to mercy. You must turn to the mercy. By trying to go up into the sky higher than you can fly. How high? How much higher can you go? It still will not be high enough. But by turning, then when we find that we reach our limit and that we just can't get higher in the sky, when we realize I'm falling short, then we turn to the mercy. And yes, we drink that mercy. We drink it to our satisfaction, but not only drink it, as I explained on the first day, and as I will say again now, on the day that we join this movement, we get a little cup. A little cup. It's the nectar cup. Oh yes, but it's too small. Anyway, but it's good because you catch nectar and ho-ho. But only a few drops more, yeah, but still not enough. With time, it slowly grows. Get some more nectar, but still not enough. And then when we start to give out this nectar in a cup, it grows. It grows. So, it grows much faster. But Prabhupada invested in devotees. There was a time when I was here, I was the temple president, and in the early 90s, and at that time Tamal Krishna Maharaj was here, and I was asking Maharaj to come to the temple for Mangal Aartis and temple programs if he desired to enliven the devotees. And Maharaj said, like, I need some time, I'm chanting so many rounds, and I wrote him a letter. And I wrote him a letter with this same idea, but this time it was not a cup. I said, Prabhupada gave you a beautiful golden pot, and he studded it with jewels of personal association. And with this pot, you can give us so much nectar. I'm begging you to please, whenever you can, to kindly share some nectar with us, right? He said, and I wrote in the same letter, I said, otherwise I will try and do it, but what do I have? I only have an iron pot, right? And it's small. So okay, I'll try and run up and down, you know, with a lot of energy to give some nectar and drink some nectar. Said, but so it is there where this idea was born. So it's a fact that Srila Prabhupada made it, brought it down to us as a way of life. Therefore we must understand is that we are not just hearing the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we are not just reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we are living in the Chaitanya Charitamrita right now. Actually, the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are not over yet. They're not over yet. The golden age is just beginning. The miracle is just beginning to happen, and we are in it. We are in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Right? Somehow or other, we are in there. Don't ask me how. It's Prabhupada. It's Prabhupada only who brought us in there. So, that's the reason why I am so much into the Chaitanya Charitamrita, because I tried to fly up and up and up as high as I could go, and then I got stuck. I was here in Vrindavan and lived here many years and stood in front of Radha Shyam and Krishna, and then sometimes look at Krishna Balaram and Gornitai quickly. But now, these days, more Gornitai. I know. When it comes to Radha and Krishna, I fall short. And when I encounter my shortcomings, when I encounter my bad character, when I encounter contamination, then I take shelter of mercy and drink this mercy. And by regularly drinking this mercy, yes, then I can also distribute. Not break open the storehouse of love of God, grab it and run out of the door with flapping clothes, you know, and Super Bhakta is in town, you know, for Super Sankirtan, and he's gonna be burned out in a little while, right? Because he never drinks the nectar himself. He's too busy distributing. No. But in this way, that is the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Okay, with that, I'm really at the end of our 3 days seminar. As you can see, it is, although it seemed at a moment for a while like going all over the place, it seemed to be like not all related, but it is all part of one clear vision. Srila Prabhupada has taken us into this world, and through this world of Lord Chaitanya, can we enter into Vrindavan? Nittai Pada Bina Bhai Radha Krishna Paitanai. So in that way. Well, I can go on till midnight, no problem. Or till tomorrow morning. But I don't know if we'll do that. I've not taken any question. If you allow me, I'll go a little over. If anyone has a question, I'll... But... Or a comment, then I will take one. Okay. Can you say it very loud? How can we read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, especially the beginning is so difficult, the first seven chapters are so, where tattva is described are very technical and dry, and he says, and then too much, and then just give it up. Then jump. Start jumping. Right? And just jump over these first seven chapters. And just go read the later portion. Jump to the Leelas and read it later. Because now, you know, I used to think these seven chapters are so tough. Now, I think they're nectar. Now these are the like real nectar chapters. See, now, you know, like, some people want Leela, right? But without tattva, Leela is incomplete, you know? Next door, they're chanting Nittai, Gaur, Radha, Shyam, and all the other things, the mantra that I try not to hear, not to remember, but you may have heard. But, you know, they have the tattva wrong. They think that Nittai is Radharani. Nittai, Gaur. But their founder was explaining that Nittai is representing Radharani. So when tattva is incomplete, then how can we appreciate? And we can understand Nittai is Balaram and Nittai is everything. He becomes Vrindavan. He manifests the Vaikuntha planets. He becomes the bed, the seat, the plate, the everything of the Lord. When the Lord is in the Mahapralaya, since I was speaking about that, you know, and you see at one point Markandeya Rishi sees this little Krishna on a banyan leaf. Guess who's the banyan leaf? Nityananda. Right? So, you know, the tattva makes it so complete. You know, Nityananda just serves him in all aspects. So, now these tattva chapters are nectar chapters. They're nectar. They make it so crystal clear. So crystal clear, you know. Like, what is the truth? And by understanding it so crystal clear, it is so nice. And Prabhupada made it so crystal clear and so simple. So first Srila Prabhupada, and then through Srila Prabhupada we can approach Lord Chaitanya. Okay, thank you so much. I'll stop now. Aarti is going on. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Harinam Sankirtan Yagya ki jai, Nitai Gaurabhyanande.